Welcome, everyone. It sure is a blessing to be here and congregate. I'm glad the weather wasn't too bad. It was worse in Wichita Falls than it was up here, so I was a little nervous for a little while, but we made it. Don't laugh if you see blankets in our van. I'm just being prepared. Well, this week was all about the Powerball lottery. It was all in the news. The jackpot climbed to over $1 billion, and everyone was abuzz with what they would do with the winnings if they won the jackpot. On Wednesday night, three winners won a share of the big jackpot, and we've heard stories since then following the winners and wondering who they are, and one of them made the news and came out, and everyone's wondering, what is he going to do with the money? I think one reason why this story captivates our interest is because it's fun to dream about how we could be with if we had all those winnings. We could imagine how generous we would be. It's fun to think about how much of a blessing we could be to others with that large windfall. One of the winners, the one that was interviewed and on the news, is the Robinson family from Tennessee. They went on the Today Show. And they discussed how they would share their $528 million. They said that in addition to paying their debts, they would pay their daughter's debt and would splurge on family members, which that's certainly nice. And I would like to think if I had a windfall, I would be sane and doing the same things. It's fun to dream of how generous we would be, but God has called us to be generous now. We are supposed to be generous even if we're not big lottery winners. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 and 2 states, and you can jot that in your notes if you want, 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 and 2, I'm going to summarize, Paul admonishes the Macedonian church for being poor but being very generous. So we see there that you can have a group of people that aren't well off, way better off than the rest of their group. In fact, they're a little bit worse off than everybody else, but they're still very generous. 2 Corinthians 8 is a good compliment to the Macedonian congregation. And we as Christians are to be generous in all circumstances. I will add that there are some wonderful examples in this congregation of generosity. I think Paul would be pleased with the generosity in this congregation. We have some members who share their garden produce and their eggs. We have some that share delicious snacks and potluck food. We have some that give generously to the kids to make the Sabbath special. And we have some that give their service and their time, and they give of their heart through prayer to others. So in essence, this is a message as a review for many of us in here. But it's good to review what we're good at sometimes. The title of today's sermonette is Be a Generous Christian. God has instructed his people to be generous ever since the beginning of human history. God himself is generous. You don't have to turn there, but James 1 and verse 5 states that God gives to everyone generously or liberally without reproach. Let's look at an instruction that God gave to the nation of Israel pertaining to generosity. Will everyone please turn to Leviticus 19? Let's turn to Leviticus 19 and verse 9. Leviticus 19, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape from your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. We see here that the nation of Israel was instructed to leave the corners of the harvests in their field for the poor and the stranger in the land. This way, people who had no crops would be able to gather some food for themselves for free. People who were in need would not go hungry or without at harvest time in Israel because of this law. This was a codified way in which the nation of Israel was told to be generous. And we in the New Testament church are admonished to be generous too. We can be generous with our money and our livelihoods, like I mentioned earlier, but we can also be generous in prayer and in service and in thoughtful ways that don't require money. Like I said earlier, we have a lot of good examples of generosity in this congregation. Let's turn to a couple of scriptures that command us as Christians to be generous to others. Will everyone please turn to 2 Corinthians 9? And we're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 13. I'm going to read this from the International Standard Version. I like the way this passage reads in English, a little bit smoother than the New King James Version. But this is 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. You can follow along with me if you want in your version. Starting in verse 6 of chapter 9. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you must give what you have decided in your heart, not with regret or under compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. Besides, God is able to make every blessing of yours overflow for you, so that in every situation you will always have all you need for any good work. As it is written, he scatters everywhere and gives to the poor. His righteousness lasts forever. Now he who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat will also supply you with seed and multiply it and enlarge the harvest that results from your righteousness. In every way you will grow richer and become even more generous, and this will cause others to give thanks to God because of us. Since this ministry you render is not only fully supplying the need of the saints, it is also overflowing with more and more prayers of thanksgiving to God. Because of your service and giving proves your love, you will be glorifying God as you obey what your confession of the Messiah's gospel demands, since you are generous and sharing with them and with everyone else. Notice in verse 6 that the person who gives generously or bountifully, as the New King James reads, reaps generously or bountifully. This passage is saying that God blesses the generous for their generosity. This passage also tells us that our generosity is a blessing to God's people in verses 11 through 13. God counts our generosity as a spiritual foundation that we can build on also. Will everyone please turn to 1 Timothy 6? And we'll read 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. We can see in this passage that we are told not to trust in riches, but to be generous. And in doing so, we are laying up a good foundation toward our eternal life. So, brethren, we are called to be generous as Christians. We can be generous with our prayer, our resources, and our actions. God is generous, and he has called his people to be generous. When we are generous, he has blessed us both physically and counts it as righteousness towards our eternal life. We have some wonderful examples of generosity in this congregation. Let's continue to be generous Christians.